Please listen carefully.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded positive news stories every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
Every weekday, we publish 10 stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, and home office-worthy podcast.
So by subscribing, listening to, and reading and sharing The Optimist Daily, you are on the front lines of action-oriented steps towards solving our world's biggest problems. First you, then 100,000, and then 100 million people, all focused on solutions, will change the world for good.
Today is March 3,472nd, 2020. Oh wait, I'm sorry, just March 31st, 2020.
It's been a long month, hasn't it?
It's just been a really long month.
And there's longer months to come, I think. All right, but here are today's top solutions.
MIT to publish free plans online for building a cheap emergency ventilator in the design section of the Optimist Daily. Imagine a class project from over a decade ago ended up holding the solution to a global issue. Well, that's the case for a class of students from MIT who are drawing from an old project to solve one of the most pressing shortages facing hospitals today, the lack of ventilators. These machines can keep patients breathing when they no longer can on their own and can cost around $30,000 each. Now, a rapidly assembled volunteer team of engineers, physicians, computer scientists, and others centered at MIT is working to implement a safe, inexpensive alternative for emergency use, which could be built quickly around the world. A decade ago, an MIT class called Medical Device Design had an assignment in which students worked with local physicians to design a simple ventilator device that could be built with about $100 worth of parts. They published a paper detailing their design and testing, but the work ended at that point. With a significant global need looming, a new team linked to that course has resumed the project at a highly accelerated pace. The key to simple, inexpensive ventilator alternative is a hand-operated plastic pouch called a bag valve resuscitator, or AMBU bag, which hospitals already have on hand in large quantities. These are designed to be operated by hand by a medical professional or emergency technician to provide breaths to a patient in situations like cardiac arrest until an intervention such as a ventilator becomes available. A tube is inserted into the patient's airway, as with a hospital ventilator, but then the pumping of the air into the lungs is done by squeezing and releasing this flexible pouch. When the team has perfected the device, they will publish a guide to reproducing it online for free so that others can quickly build the ventilator for the hospitals that need it most.
This is such a great story, Summers. Having these young students, these creative young people and engineers come up with solutions and get this out into the world with, you know, inexpensive parts. And this is going to be great for the United States, but it'll also be great for other countries around the world as they start to really be impacted by this particular disease, which is something that is unprecedented for our world.
Advancement in medical technology could be huge as we learn to solve this and new problems.
Absolutely. All right. Well, another story from our design section. It's getting away a little bit from our COVID coverage. Fabric is freshwater intensive. These students have a saltwater alternative. And this is from our design section. Producing fabrics often relies heavily on scarce fresh water. In fact, just 1 kilogram of cotton requires as much as 20,000 liters of fresh water to be made. To tackle overconsumption of fresh water by the fashion industry, students from the Royal College of Art have created an alternative fabric made from plants grown in abundant seawater. As compared to cotton, this material requires no fresh water and could help usher in a standard in sustainable fashion. Thus far, the students, who have formed a startup called Salty Co., have created a woven fabric, a non-woven fabric, and a technical stuffing used in the plant. Salty Co. can't reveal too much about the plant itself in order to protect the product, but the startup is saying that the stuffing material is the closest to being market ready, and Salty Co. has already showcased it as part of a jacket. Apparently, it is warm, lightweight, and hydrophobic, making it suitable for insulating jackets. They have also showcased their non-woven fabric in new forms and seen it being used for accessories or faux leathers. The woven fabric, on the other hand, requires the most further development, but if done right, it would have similar properties to linen or cotton, which could have major environmental implications for the fashion industry. For now, it's just encouraging to see alternatives to freshwater-intensive fabrics. And Summers, this goes along with a story we ran in the Optimist View a few months ago about how saltwater halophytes, which are salt-loving plants, might be a new wave for our food industry as freshwater becomes more scarce around the globe.
This also falls into the category of stories that we were working on potentially for a theme week for the Optimist Daily of Fashion Week. We, as a team, made a decision to postpone Fashion Week until it was more appropriate. But this is a great story about the innovation that is coming across industries. And I love the idea of Salty Co. I think that's a darling name. I look forward to my Salty Co. ocean voyaging jacket soon. Another great story that's really just an interesting tidbit of information for us from our Birds, Bees, and Bugs section of the Optimist Daily, how animals understand and use numerical skills. Animals may have a more complex understanding of our world than we thought. Specifically, they may be able to understand numbers and counting. No, they don't practice arithmetic or calculus, but researchers have found that most animals have what's called numerical competence. For example, honeybees remember the number of landmarks they pass when they leave the hive in order to find their way back. Wolves also carefully maintain the precise number of animals in packs ideal for hunting. They assess this number and alter it depending on type of prey. This skill even plays a role in reproduction. Male bullfrogs sing to attract mates, and females of the species listen for the songs with the highest number of chucks in them. Even the simple mealworm beetle uses numerical competence to optimize offspring production. Researchers at the University of Tübingen, Germany, believe these skills have evolved in all types of organisms to increase chances of survival. Different species evolved from different lineages, but most of them evolved to use numerical competence in some form or another. There isn't much research being conducted in this field, but scientists hope to begin looking deeper at how the brain and neurons process numbers in animals next year. And everyone stuck at home with your animals and pets, notice when you give them one treat less, they know.
I love it. I think it's funny that we're putting this in our birds, bees, and bugs category, but we talk about wolves and frogs. So I think all critters have this ability, and we're just starting to understand how smart they are. And as you know, when we live with animals, we are often surprised by their innate brilliance. All right. Well, our next story in education section of the Optimist Daily. It's tips on 10 ways to spot misinformation online. Unfortunately, coronavirus is not immune from online breeders of misinformation and fake news. At this uncertain time, it is important that the information we absorb is reliable and accurate so we can make informed personal and societal decisions on how to best proceed. The Optimist Daily is working hard to ensure the stories we bring you are verified. Here are 10 ways to spot misinformation online as you browse your media sources. Did the post spark anger, disgust, or fear? News can trigger strong emotional responses, but if your initial feeling is outrage, take a deep breath and look to verify the information on other sites before you accept it as fact. Check especially if you've only read the headline. It could be exaggerated clickbait. Did it make you feel good? We hate to say it, but even good news isn't always true. Pay extra attention to stories that call you to action, such as only 1% of people will share this story. Is it hard to believe? Astronomer and author Carl Sagan once said, "Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence." If your immediate instinct is doubt, definitely double-check the information. Did it confirm your beliefs? Our brains are wired to trust what we already believe. Make sure you ask yourself if the information is legitimate or is it just easily digestible. And remember, just because something is widely shared doesn't necessarily make it true. Check spelling and grammar. A lack of spell check often goes hand in hand with a lack of fact checking. Even the best editors miss the occasional mistake, but frequent errors and a wide font variety should make you apprehensive. And was it a meme? Yes, they can be funny, But memes are the medium of humor, opinion, and attention seeking, not news. Aside from lacking nuance, these mediums have been used in more dangerous capacities by extremist groups to attract younger audiences. What's the source? There is a whole spectrum of media reliability and bias. Just because something is accurate doesn't mean it is not biased. Use the Media Bias Fact Check website to verify your source and assess it yourself by asking critical questions such as, does it present facts fairly? And does it take all sides of the issue into account? Ask who said it. Politicians, officials, and even your relatives may not always tell the truth, even unintentionally. Look to see if a fact-checking site has verified the information in a speech or announcement, and use intelligent listening skills, even if the information is coming from a friend or family member. They probably don't mean to share false information. They most likely just don't know their information is unverified. Ask, is there a hidden agenda? Read varied sources and make sure what you are reading is really non-and ask, finally, have you checked the facts? Starting with simple facts is a great way to begin assessing a source. Snopes and Fact Check will work well. Last week, we shared a story about how tech giants are joining together to stop the spread of COVID-19 misinformation. But it isn't just tech and media companies responsible for verifying information. Be a vigilant reader and double-check the information you are taking in, especially if you plan on sharing it. And Summers, this is a great story for Optimist Daily because this is what we are doing all the time.
This is one of my favorite stories, Christy. And to those who are listening, you may have gotten familiar with Christy and I and know that this is what we are together as a partnership team most passionate about, is really accurate information online and the way that we can find our own agency in how we receive and respond to the emotional information on social media and on publishing sites. Last week, there was this darling article about drunk elephants raiding a winery, and it was gorgeous pictures of these beautiful elephants that were raiding a winery because nobody was around. And then there were these outstanding pictures of dolphins in the Venice Canal, and they were going wild on social media. And I forwarded them to our editors, and a quick check, they confirmed that they were not, in fact, true. We not only respond to positive, but also negative information on social that may not be true. And that's, we need to continue to educate people on media literacy.
Yeah, and I think, Summers, that because we are emotional animals and emotional beings, it's so easy for us to be triggered by headlines that either confirm something we already think might be true, or they're designed to inflame us, and we have to be intelligent about how we read the news and not get caught up in a negative emotion or in a positive emotion. And it's about actually looking at where it's coming from, using your rational mind, and then taking that information and forwarding it in an intelligent kind of way.
Well, a thank you to the writers for putting that together. Our last story does return to the COVID-19 pandemic and a great solution that's coming out. Breakthrough decontamination system to help medical workers fight COVID-19. From the health section. As shortages of personal protective equipment, PPE, reach critical levels across the country, finding a way to reuse this protective gear holds an opportunity to take a huge burden off the medical community fighting the coronavirus. Happily, a care and sanitation company has managed to figure out a process to do exactly that and recently got FDA approval to go ahead and implement it. Developed by Ohio-based company Battelle, the technology consists of large shipping containers that have been augmented to become super efficient decontamination systems with a molecular design, meaning they can be easily shipped and scaled up. Hospitals around the country are starting to run low on personal protective equipment, such as masks, gloves, and goggles. The looming shortage puts healthcare workers in danger as they treat the influx of COVID-19 patients. Battelle's critical care decontamination system is the first of its kind, capable of cleaning up to 80,000 pieces of PPE at a time. Sunday night, the Food and Drug Administration gave Battelle full approval to ramp up their systems to full capacity and send devices to the parts of the country hit hardest by the coronavirus outbreak.
And this is a wonderful story, Summers, and it's just another way that we can support our medical professionals in this time when they are really stepping up. And I appreciate you reading that one. All right, well, thank you so much for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure that it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and to offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism. If you already are an emissary, please consider inviting a friend to help in the mission. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
If we put our minds together, we can do almost anything. Thank you, Summers. Thank you, everybody.
Everybody have a great day.
Bye.